The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Not a bad day outside weather-wise right now, but they are expecting it to get pretty nasty here in the Auburn-Opelika area and really across the state. Pretty much right now, all the way through tonight. And so, if you're out and about, going to be out and about this evening, looks like they may have pushed it back a hair. It's coming. We don't really know what time it's going to be here, but it's going to be, they're saying it's going to be pretty rough. And so, again, if you are going to be out and about tonight, maybe kind of keep an eye on that. I know just across the state, they always get it much worse than Auburn typically does. But, you know, you just got to be careful and prepare for that. So, other than that, hope you're doing well on this Tuesday. So much to talk about on the show today. We've got some more basketball things we need to get to. We met with Hugh Freeze earlier today for his press conference before A-Day. So we may have some of that audio for you today. Also, Double D, Daryl Dappert, will join us in hour number two on the phone lines. We got him for about 30 minutes today. We'll talk about NCAA tournament. We'll talk Final Four. We'll talk a little Auburn baseball as well. An update on Auburn baseball. The game that was supposed to be played up in Birmingham tonight has been moved to tomorrow because of all of the weather that's going through up there through Birmingham. So that game has been moved to tomorrow. No official start time yet. We will get you that when we get there and when we have that opportunity and when they give us that information. So just keep that in mind as well, that the Auburn baseball game has been moved to tomorrow against UAB in Birmingham. So other than that, phone lines are open. Give me a call. What's on your mind on this Tuesday? Had a lot of great calls yesterday, a lot of reactionary calls yesterday, as we figured would be the case. But we still want to hear from you. What's on your mind here during this Tuesday afternoon? 334-321-1390. That number again is 334-321-1390. Anything on your mind in the sports world, would love to hear from you. And I mentioned that we heard from Hugh Freeze earlier today from about 12:30, so just about an hour and a half ago, about spring football so far. He's had a couple of press conferences. There will be a media viewing window later on this afternoon. And then A-Day coming up this Saturday. I know it's crazy. It is wild, but that A-Day, the spring game, spring practice, spring scrimmage, whatever the heck you want to call it, right? That's coming up this weekend. And I'm curious on for my listeners right now or wherever and whenever, right? Are you going to A-Day? Are you going to watch A-Day? Are you participating in it? Like, what's your role? What are you doing this Saturday when Auburn football is having their spring game? I'll be really honest with you. I'm not even going to be here. I'm going to be in Birmingham. And if I was in Auburn, yeah, I'd be there. I would. But I've told you this before, when it comes to the spring game or scrimmage, that there are certain things you can look for, but do not read and take everything for 100%. And what I mean by that is, with any spring game in college football, I don't care if it's Auburn, there's going to be a ton of overreaction from Alabama, good or bad, because of Kalen DeBoer, new head coach, new regime in Tuscaloosa. I don't care where it is. Do not overreact. Do not buy into it. Because the spring game, I've had a whole segment on this before, where you just don't get a ton from spring practice and the spring game when it comes to what you're going to see in August. Now, Hugh Freeze gave us some good insight today. Talked about the quarterbacks. Was asked about the quarterbacks a couple of times. And talked about Peyton Thorne. How he has played well. He said the entire room has gotten better from week one to right now. And he said it's still Peyton Thorne's job at the quarterback spot. But everybody's getting closer. And the quarterback battle has tightened up, is what he said. And at now, you know, you start looking at it, and this is when we really start having those conversations. Okay, we're wrapping up spring, about to get into the summer, right? You'll have summer workouts, but not really any practicing going on. And before we know it, August will be here. August will be here. Practices will begin once more. And the first game of the year is right around the corner. And so, how do we feel right now about the situation with Auburn football? A lot of you probably don't know, and that's okay. That's totally fine. I'll be honest. We don't know. As the media, radio, journalists, whatever, we don't even know everything because we're only given limited access. And that's how they want it to be, and that's fine. That's fine. Because the more access we would be given, the more that people would overreact and they'd write articles and they'd talk on the radio and they'd get on whatever they do and they'd start yapping about something and get everybody all worked up over probably nothing. Now, one thing that Hugh Freeze talked about today that was alarming, I would say, is the fact that the receiver room has been pretty banged up. There's been about four guys that they've been without. Camden Brown, Coy Moore, for example. They've been without four guys in the receiver room, which means, yes, you get other guys reps as a Cam Coleman, sure, but you also are trying to develop and work a little bit on your receivers and their route running and their knowledge and their connection with the quarterbacks, and you're unable to do that when they're standing on the sidelines watching or in the athletic trainer's room, right? So that's a little bit concerning. And you hope, and he was, head coach Hugh Freeze, was hopeful that for this Saturday that he would get a couple of those guys back and just doesn't fully know what they are going to see on Saturday for A-Day. And he kind of joked around about the format of it and how they considered pretty much everything when it comes to what they wanted to do format-wise for A-Day for the spring game. And he said, look, we're going to make it as simple as possible. We're putting 27-0, defense versus offense, defense with the lead. We're going to do four quarters of about 14 minutes, pretty much running clock, may stop it a few times here and there. We're going to set them all up in different spots on the field, and we're going to go out and play, is what he said today. We're going to go out and just play. And good thing compared to a year ago, right? If you remember, last year's A-Day was miserable. It was pouring down rain, flooding. They barely threw the ball. They just ran it all the time between quarterbacks and running backs, and there wasn't a whole lot done. But I'll say this. I'll say this about the charisma and the way that Hugh Freeze talked to us today about the spring game. He's nervous about it. He's nervous not because he's worried about his team and how they're going to look or giving things up. He did mention that. But he's nervous because I think he believes that this is a waste of time. I think he believes that. And I don't know. I've talked to him, but not about that. I just felt that way when I was listening to him today. Because he mentioned numerous times about, you know, you can't get a whole lot out of it. And he stressed the concern for injury. He said, you want to go into this thing and just stay healthy. Just stay healthy, and you want to go in and not give up too much and give away too many plays and ideas or whatever, and most importantly, you want people to stay healthy. And he did mention the part about the fans and you want to put on a show or whatever, but I don't know. I just felt that when it came to the spring game, you could tell that it may not be his favorite thing to do. And I feel like there's probably a lot of coaches that feel that way. Because think about it. Put yourself in this position, right? Put yourself right now, you listening to this show on this station. You are the head coach of a major college football program. You've got all those kids over there, and it's year two for you, or whatever year, doesn't matter. You're the head coach, and you are coming up on a game on Saturday, a quote-unquote game that the university puts together that you are basically forced to be a part of, and you're supposed to be practicing, because, and I said this last year, A-Day is a practice. It's not a real game. It's the last practice of the spring. And they're forced to go out in the stadium with fans paying $5 a ticket, and they expect to see something. The fans expect to see a show. And so, what are you supposed to do as the head coach? If you've got injuries and you're trying to avoid injuries, right? If you're Hugh Freeze, what do you do on Saturday? What do you show that's going to be good enough for the fans, but not giving anything away and not putting your guys in position to get hurt? It's a tough thing to deal with. And sure, you could say suck it up and do it because you get paid a lot of money and that's part of your job. Or you could give the guy the benefit of the doubt and say, you know what? Maybe this isn't the smartest thing in the world. Maybe this isn't the most beneficial thing for my team. And I just feel that that's how Hugh Freeze kind of spoke to us today. I could be completely wrong. I could be 100% wrong. But just based off of the way he talked in his comments, I feel that he believes there's better ways. And he was asked about this when it comes to scrimmaging against an actual team for the spring game against the likes of UAB or South Alabama or whoever. And he pretty much said he didn't have a whole lot to give there because the few times he's brought it up, nobody's really jumped on board. So that's probably not going to happen anytime soon. But if you're so concerned about injuries, maybe that's not the best way to go either. I've said this for years. I said wax it. Get rid of it. Man, I know it's a cool thing for families to come to town, and you've got the football game or the A-Day game and then baseball right after, which is a really cool thing. You can loop it all together, make a whole weekend out of it. Softball here too, right? You can make a whole weekend out of going to Auburn and being a part of Auburn Athletics. I get it. And that's a big part of it. But if we're talking about, and this is not just for Auburn, I'm saying across the board. At what point do we look at this and say, is this really what's going to make this team better? Are we really going to get better today by going out here, getting in the stadium, and running some plays and just hoping that it works out and hoping that nobody gets hurt, right? And I asked him about his expectations today, and again, he just kind of gave the same type of answers where it's like, you want to see high effort, right? You want to see focus. And he's talked about how this team has a lot of that, has a lot of energy, a lot of focus. They've showed up ready to go every day, which is good. That's what you want to hear. And you hope that they do the same thing for this type of event on Saturday. But there's so many obstacles, man. There's so many obstacles, and you're not going to see anything different from the quarterbacks. You're not going to see anything different from the running back room. You may see a receiver. We've seen this in the past, right? You've seen wide receivers make ridiculous one-handed back of the end zone catches. But does that really mean anything? No, I don't think so. You've got quarterbacks with non-contact jerseys on, which makes sense. But they're going to be rotating different groups in and out, different guys in and out every play. Like, they're just kind of there to go through the motions. And it doesn't take very long. Doesn't take long at all. And then at the end of it, Hugh Freeze will walk into the press conference room and we'll all be sitting there and ask him a bunch of the same questions, and it's going to be a bunch of the same answers. I don't know. I'm not a fan of this type of event. I'd rather them use that day or another day, that last spring practice, I'd rather them go off and go back to the facility and do something. Do one of the teaching days that they've been doing that Hugh Freeze says have gone really, really well. They've been doing, I think he said, a Saturday, Tuesday real practice, Thursday teaching. And he said, man, they show up fired up, ready to go. He said they've been doing different competitions and stuff. And he said they love that stuff. They're overly competitive, which is what you want. I'd rather them go do that rather than, all right, let's go into the locker room. Let's put on our pads and our uniform and jog out into Jordan-Hare that's got 5,000 people in it, and let's throw the ball around a little bit to make people happy. I don't know. That's how I feel about it. And I don't think it's all bad. Again, the fans have a really good opportunity. It's a whole day event, a whole weekend, really. You bring in the extra money. But at the end of the day, does it really make the football team better? And isn't that what practice is for? To make the team better? It just doesn't seem like that's what's happening when you step on the field for a spring game. I don't care what the format is. I don't care what the school is. Just doesn't seem like that's what's happening. We'll take our first break here in hour number one. We'll come on back. Hey, come on in. Be a part of the show. 334-321-1390. A little bit of basketball talk when we come back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back inside the studio here on ESPN 106.7, it's the Tuesday edition of On the Line, and this dropped as I was going on the air, and I'm just now coming across it. Huge news in college basketball. Huge news in college basketball. According to On3, about 12 minutes ago, per On3 and per Scott Schrader, Eric Musselman, the head coach of Arkansas basketball, is set to interview with USC, University of Southern California, tomorrow, according to On3. How about that? How about that? That is some big-time news right there from On3 reporting it, and I'm starting to see it trickle out of some Arkansas folks as well. And it's so crazy because, what was that, like a week or so ago, we saw the video that Arkansas put out, the all cringeworthy video that they put out where it was Eric Musselman driving a bus and somebody getting worried about him leaving, and he turns around and says, "I'm not going anywhere." Well, I don't know about that, because if you put out a video with your social media team saying that your coach is coming back, and then a week later you're going to interview for another Power 6, Power 5 job, yeah, something doesn't add up here. And I've been saying it for the last year. There are programs out there that could throw the bag at Eric Musselman, and he could bring them some serious wins and possibly some championships. Look at what he did at Arkansas. Can we think about this for a second? Look, I've got some great friends in Fayetteville. I do. But he was doing some unspeakable things in a good way at Arkansas with the basketball program. Sweet 16s, Elite Eights with the Razorbacks. Imagine what he could do if he went to a school that could pay him more money, give him more money and facilities, and give him more NIL opportunities. Holy smokes. He could be, and I still think he is, one of the best coaches in college basketball. Not just the SEC, but in college basketball. And you can't tell me that if Eric Musselman were to go to USC, that he couldn't make that a winning program again. With all the talent that's in California, with all the talent and the money that they want to use to bring talent to California, man, that would be an unbelievable gig for him. I'll be honest, A, I didn't see it coming, and B, that would not have been my first or second or third or fourth or fifth choice if you gave me a chance to choose who I thought was interviewing Eric Musselman. No way would I have said USC. But it really is weird timing that you put out that video saying he's not going anywhere, and then a week later he's interviewing for a big-time job. My take on this is, in this situation, you don't interview for that job unless you fully plan on leaving for that job. That's how I see it. You're not going to tell Arkansas, "Hey, I'm coming back. Oh, by the way, there's this other school that's interested, so I'm just going to take a little jet ride over there and see what they're offering, but don't worry, I'm coming back." That's not really how that goes. He is fully prepared to leave Fayetteville and go to Southern California. And that's wild to me. I'm not saying it's a bad gig. I think it's a great gig. I just didn't think they were the ones to do it. And to be honest, I didn't think he was going anywhere. I thought, and I've said this for a while too, I thought Louisville should have gone after him. I've said Louisville should have gone after him or Nate Oates and threw every penny that they could scrounge up from the athletic department and throw it at those two guys right there. And Louisville is yet to do that. And who knows? I can't keep up with what they're doing. There's a new candidate for Louisville every day, it seems like. But how about that? How about Eric Musselman reportedly set to interview with USC? How do we feel about that as Auburn fans, SEC basketball fans, 334-321-1390? Look, it's no secret that most Auburn fans don't like Eric Musselman. I mean, I feel like that's a pretty safe assumption. I think most of you are not fans of him, but I think a lot of you could also appreciate him and admit on how good of a coach he really is. I mean, he's a heck of a recruiter. I'd say he's probably a better recruiter than he is a coach, but I think he's good at both. And with Arkansas right now, they've got the talent. They absolutely had the talent. They just had a bad year. They didn't get to the first round of the tournament and lose with a good team. They just had a bad year. And they were going to completely relock, reload. They lost guys in the portal. I think they're up to 3 or 4 guys, I think. And they were going to start bringing in some serious talent. Because that's the time of the year that we're in right now. It's transfer portal season for college basketball. But I don't think anybody had major concerns that Arkansas wasn't going to get it turned around under Eric Musselman. But here we are, and he's looking to jump ship. And here's the thing for Arkansas that they ought to be scared to death about, is if Eric Musselman does leave you, who in the world are you going to get to replace him? Because I promise you're not going to get anybody better. You're not going to get anybody better right now that is going to go to Fayetteville, Arkansas and take over the Razorbacks basketball program and do what Eric Musselman has done. It's impossible. I think it's truly impossible. And again, I just feel like if you're interviewing for the USC job, you're not doing that just to check it out, just to see if the grass is greener. You're fully planning on hopping the fence and moving next door. And that's wild to me, man. That's wild to me. And I don't think Arkansas fans were going insane. From what I know, I don't think they were jumping ship from him just yet. I think they understood that it was just a bad year. And that they fully planned and were confident that he was going to turn it around. But yeah, that was crazy, man. I didn't see that until the break. And that really is, that's kind of crazy to me that he is at least interviewing for the USC job, and it seems like he may be heading out to Southern California, and that's a big time coach to leave the SEC if it does happen. That will hurt the SEC as a conference. I know that's not our main concern, but it is true. The SEC would take a hit. I think Auburn would probably be okay with him going, right? I mean, that's a guy that he's been able to take down Auburn a few times, not every time, but a few, and that's a state that, not that it's overly basketball heavy in talent, but they've got some serious players over there. And Auburn's gone and gotten a few, and they've missed on a few from Arkansas because of the Razorbacks and Eric Musselman. So at the end of the day, I think Auburn fans are fine if Eric Musselman wants to dip out. And there's probably some other SEC fans too. I'm curious on what you think. Do you think he's gone? Do you think he's going to, if you're interviewing, are you taking the job? I mean, unless USC just says, yeah, we'll give you $1 million a year, then he may laugh them off and fly back to Fayetteville. But, yeah, that's crazy, man. Unbelievable. Eric Musselman reportedly interviewing for the USC job tomorrow, according to On3. Wow, that's a bomb right there. And it wasn't even from Woj. That's just a regular bomb from On3. We'll see how it goes, and maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow or the next day if we get an update on that, as SEC basketball seems to be possibly changing in the head coaching world. When we come back, we'll have audio from head coach Hugh Freeze in his press conference today, talking about the spring practice, talking about A-Day coming up this Saturday as well. That's here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, with you on ESPN 106.7. Well, I mentioned earlier and started the show off talking about Hugh Freeze and what he had to say today in his weekly press conference, previewing the A-Day game coming up, kind of talking about what spring has been, his schedule, post-spring, right, and kind of what that's going to look like as we get closer to the fall. So this is Hugh Freeze earlier today in his weekly press conference talking about the spring game coming up this Saturday.
Well, it's another beautiful day on the plains. We've had some outstanding weather, and Saturday's practice was I've been really pleased with the energy and passion that, starting with our staff and with the players, I think that's – they're batting about 100 on that with the in this new – Tuesday, Saturday, let's get after it, and Thursday teach format that we've kind of gone through this spring. And, you know, so we're left with two more opportunities to do that, and excited to see what we do today in our competition periods, and then teach a lot Thursday. And then Saturday, obviously, go into the stadium in Jordan-Hare, and not sure exactly how to judge that. I know both sides will kind of be particular about what they're doing, and you hope to stay healthy and safe, and you're excited to, about our recruits that will be here and all of our fans that may come. But it's typically a day you try to get out of healthy and don't show too much on either side, but and play a lot of these young kids. So hopefully we can get through this week healthy. We've been beat up considerably at the receiver position. That's caused us a little slowdown in some of the things we're trying to do. But other than that, we're pretty healthy. So been pleased with the energy and passion, and love the things I see from our staff and a lot of our players. I think the leadership of the team has been good in holding us accountable to the standards that we set back in January. And I think that's been probably what I'm most pleased with the progress with, and excited about finishing up this week and continuing to recruit.
How much one-on-one have you been able to do, and what's the plan for Saturday as far as, you know, splitting squads? And
one-on-one as far as DBs and – oh, ones against ones every day, every Tuesday and Saturday. It's been ones-on-ones, or we don't like to really say ones-on-ones. We say blue and orange and white, and you're constantly rotating people at some positions for sure. And but we're going to do good on good in spring all the time. And Saturday, I think, I honestly started to turn this over to you guys and just let the media decide, but chances are you put all of y'all in the room, y'all couldn't come to a consensus either, just like a coaching staff. So I think the easiest format, we went through everything in the world from, you know, two first downs, get you this, and I can't do all that. And so we're putting 27-0 on the scoreboard defense, and let's go play and see how vary the field positions. And see what happens, you know, see if the offense can overtake the defense at 27-0. Obviously, if the defense were to have a pick six or something, they would add to their or a block field goal for a return, or they would add to that. But barring they don't do that, it's 27-0, and see if the offense can score 28 in the time allowed.
Hugh, you mentioned the receiving core. Who are the guys that have been beat up for you?
Been without Jay Fair and Caleb Wooten and Camden Brown for the better part of the last 2 weeks. I think I'm missing. Oh, and Corey Moore. So all the returning guys that have played some snaps have been out. I think we'll get Jay back this week and Caleb. I don't know about Camden and Corey yet, but I think we'll get those two back.
You just what have you seen from quarterback wise through the group after now that you've had a chance to have some kind of scrimmage situations?
They absolutely have improved from week one to now. They're processing the expectations we have pretty well, taking care of the ball much better than week one, for sure. I think the competition between Hank and Holden and Peyton has been really good. Walker has got an incredible arm strength, obviously is a freshman and swimming a bit with a lot of the things that he's seeing from the defense. There's a lot of different looks that our defense gives, but excited about what he can be also. But like the competition that we're seeing there.
Coach, last year the weather kind of put a damper on A&A, mm-hmm. So you didn't throw the ball very much. Kind of run pass ratio you're expecting on Saturday, and are you guys going to be using a running clock this year, or are you going to play?
Yeah, I think it's 4 10-minute clocks, and we'll see how that goes with the TV time and how the game's going. I'm sure we'll stop it some, but I think it's probably going to be 4 10-minute and stop it maybe the last 2 minutes of each quarter, or and play it like normal from there. But that's kind of up in the air. I kind of changed my mind on that. See how it's going. Run pass ratio. I don't. It's hard to say when you're. If we run our base offense, I don't know if it's going to be thrown or handed off, half the time. I was showing a quarterback recruit we had here the other day. He was standing with me during red ball. And I said, we just threw for 90 yards on two drives, and we didn't call a single pass play. And I said, that's the kind of offense you want to play in. And so it's hard for me to really tell, what the run pass ratio will be. But I don't mind throwing it. We are really thin at receiver right now, which we'll see how we are come Saturday. It'll help a lot if Jay and Caleb can be back for sure. Where you're not having to wear those guys out, but I certainly wouldn't mind throwing it around some if we can protect us. That's been the biggest challenge against what we're seeing defensively. Those guys are getting after us pretty good.
Coach, when you go into a spring game, spring practice, whatever you want to call it, for A Day, as the head coach, what are your expectations going into it? And then when you, go back in on Saturday night, Sunday morning, what are your expectations for this sort of a day?
Well, number one, you hope for great weather for the fans and that that they can enjoy getting on campus and being around each other, and that we would be clean in our operations. Y'all have heard me talk about before how this is tough on getting a lot out of the day, but it is what it is, and it's right for everybody at Auburn. So we're gonna make the best of it, and we're gonna go compete. And I think our kids will do that and do it passionately. Now, are the guys that I limit their snaps probably so that about and what they can do. We'll probably limit some of those guys. But other than that, it should be, we want to make it a competitive day. That you don't want to see flags all over the field. That would irritate me. And you just, you want to play clean, and you want to execute fairly well on both sides. You don't want to go out there and it's 27-0 and the offense doesn't get a first down the whole day. That would be discouraging. So you're hoping that you just see some good execution from each side and a lot of competition and taking pride in competing each snap and stay healthy.
Hugh, you obviously want your guys to stay healthy, but how much has the injuries at receiver kind of been something beneficial to get more snaps for guys like Cam and Bryce and Robert transferring? And what have you seen from those guys, you know, being the healthy ones out there?
Excited about Robert and Sam. Sam's another one. He's been in a yellow jersey all spring because of his shoulder, but surgery. But excited when I do see him, he and Robert. I think they're going to add quality depth to us. Bryce is going to be a talented kid. Yet to see kind of, you know, where he'll fit in year one. I mean, it's a process. You know, very few people are just ready-made and walk in and play in this league. And I want our young men to understand that. And that doesn't mean they're not really, really good. But Cam, on the other hand, is a different cat. You know, he's going to have to play, and he's proved he can. When he knows what to do, he's very, very good. I mean, we've got to do a great job of bringing him along and making sure he understands techniques and the system more and more. But he's so coachable, that's going to be easy. And he just continues to make plays. He's got to go as a freshman, and we'll be excited to get Perry and Malcolm in to give us some additional depth in that room.
Hugh, you mentioned that defensive line doing a good job here in spring. What have sort of been the individual parts of that you've been pleased with? Because that was a group, obviously, that lost Marcus and lost Justin.
Yeah, we miss Marcus and Justin for sure. You know, and I think inside is where we're still a little thin, that we'll be looking, you know, maybe for some portal help there. But you need Jason Jones to come on and continue to improve along with Gage and Trill. You know, those are the three guys inside that have played, you know, decent snaps. Then behind them, you've got to have, you know, people like Bobby and DJ Reed and Blockton, all young kids, you know, come on pretty fast to give you the needed depth inside there. The ends, you know, I mean, J-Mac is dynamic. Got to keep him healthy and hope he stays healthy throughout the year, but really, really pleased with his work ethic and the way he practices and goes after it. And obviously Keldrick, we're extremely pleased with, and need, you know, Z to come on behind him to give us quality depth there. And then really excited about Amaris and Waller. I mean, those freshmen are going to be – they're really talented and probably going to have to play significant snaps, you know, in year one. T.J. Lindsey is another one that I think's got a huge ceiling. Tinkering with moving him inside, if he doesn't play behind Keldrick and him at the end position, he could be a swing guy. He's getting bigger, just not sure there yet, but excited. Love his work ethic. I think he's twitchy and gonna have a he's gonna be a really good player.
Hugh, Saturday specifically, what are some things you liked and didn't like from Saturday's scrimmage? And then also, you know, you've sort of talked about not quite knowing if it's good. Does that mean it's bad?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you have a better understanding of this team to know if it's good, that it's good or bad?
Yeah,
on the other side?
I thought the Tuesday, we had competition Tuesday and offense dominated Tuesday. And defense did not like that at all. I thought they responded well Saturday, dominated the move the ball portion. Then we went to red zone competition. Offense gets a field goal, that's 3 points, and defense gets four for a stop, for a field goal. So it's, and you played 18. Obviously a score is a score. And that was really competitive. That was good to see the offense bounce back a little bit, but defense still edged them out in that competition. Then we went 2-minute drill, and offense had need to have a touchdown in both, and they responded with two touchdowns. So I thought to see the defense fairly dominate the early portion of the things, but the offense never – there's times you can leave a practice and say, man, they just never responded, and that's more scary than the fact that they got it stuck to them pretty good early on. I thought our guys responded, which was really good to see them compete in that. So – There was a few too many flags for us. We were really handsy in the defensive, and then we got called for quite a few holds that really – it's hard to say how bad you got dominated when you know when you get behind the chains, man. It's just brutal, particularly when you got shorthanded at receiver and you really don't have your whole offense in. It's hard even if you have all of that, and that happened to us way too much in the move the ball portion. But it was good to see the competition and energy was off the charts good, and the coaches got after each other a little too much. Got to settle that down. It was good, though. It was all in good fun. But I thought it was just good competition, but it was really good to see the offense kind of – it did not go their way very well at all at early, but they finished very, very strong.
You go back to quarterback a little bit. I know you talked about how hard it is to get four guys reps, yep. Much like – what are you looking for to maybe start to separate in terms of at least a pecking order to kind of give you an idea of heading into August? And what do you need to see from the – I'm sure Peyton's experience has him in
there. Yeah, Peyton's going to be in it. It's going to – you know, it's going to be hard to say. I mean, as excited as we are about Walker, you know, the other three are getting the majority of the reps probably come fall camp. You know, but – I'm really excited about Walker too, so we'll see. It's going to be hard to get four. We've done a good job getting them a bunch of reps in spring. It's probably hurt Peyton some because he hadn't gotten as many as, but we feel like he'll be fine come fall camp. But we really needed to solidify who's really competing for the starting job, thus being the backup, with whichever way that goes by fall camp. And probably have to do that a week into fall camp, no more.
So that was part of Hugh Freeze earlier today. Don't have time to play it all, but I thought some really interesting stuff in there. I was talking about the quarterbacks right there at the end. I believe Jason Caldwell got a good question in there about that and just kind of expectations, right, for A-Day and for the spring game and for what he wants this team to be. And I think from what he has said, the team is responding really well, and the team is playing well, maybe not performing there, but I mean, it's still a spring, you don't know, but I think they're showing up, I think they're doing the right things, and I think he is pleased with what he has seen so far, and it's pretty hard to please a coach in March and April. I mean, let's just be honest, it's pretty hard to please a guy right then when it comes to his football team that's not going to play for another 5 months, but seems like Hugh Freeze is pretty happy with what he has seen so far. We got to get to our final break here in hour number one. Phone lines are open, come on in, be a part of it, 334-321-1390. A quick segment, we'll wrap up hour number one on the other side.
Are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. And got just a couple of minutes. We'll have another segment coming up in hour number two. And then of every Tuesday, Daryl Dappertz joins us. So excited to talk to him. We're going to get into the NCAA tournament. We'll talk a little bit about the Final Four. I'm sure he'll have some thoughts on Alabama making the Final Four coming up this Saturday. And also Auburn baseball and a lot of what Hugh Freeze and myself were talking about in this first hour. A-Day coming up this Saturday. So excited to talk with Daryl D. Daryl Dappertz. How about that? I was combining everything right there. Same thing. You know who I'm talking about. He'll be joining us in hour number two. And phone lines will be open for the first segment, so give us a call. We'll get you on the other side of the break, 334-321-1390. Don't have long, but got to shout out the games last night in the NCAA Women's Tournament. Man, they were awesome, right? I mean, they were really, really good games. Both of them were last night. And it's crazy that we're talking about women's basketball in such a large landscape and in such a large way, right? And it's not just me. It's everybody. All media is talking about it. And it just shows that, yeah, when you pump in and you put the money into it and you get the players in there that are kind of sellers of the game and promoters of the game, it can be a really good product and a really fun talking point as well. And that's exactly what we had last night. in the NCAA Women's Tournament. You had LSU and Iowa back and forth. Caitlin Clark is just, I mean, she's just it. I mean, she is just an unbelievable player. 41 points, 12 assists, 7 rebounds last night against LSU in a 94-87 win for Iowa. And then the other game was UConn and USC. How many of you watched those games last night? Or at least one of them, or at least some? I guarantee a lot of you did, more than you did last year, right? More than you did a year ago. And I think that's a really big thing, not just for these games, but a lot more games in this NCAA tournament. And then it was UConn and USC. And look, Paige Beckers is just, it's unbelievable the amount of talent at the top right now in women's college basketball. UConn takes down USC 80-73. And that now gives us a Final Four set for the women on Friday. It's NC State and South Carolina, and then the two best players in college basketball, Paige Beckers and Caitlin Clark for Iowa. They'll play on Friday night. How about NC State? Both programs, the men and the women, in the Final Four. Unbelievable, man. Props to that school, to those programs, and that university for NC State having both squads in the Final Four. Hour number one in the book. Stay tuned. We'll have hour number two coming up. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. Double D will be with us as well. That's all coming up in hour number two.
Is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. If you missed any of the first hour, you can go and catch up with the podcast later on today. You'll find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com or just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. Talked about Hugh Freeze's comments from earlier today in his weekly press conference previewing A-Day, the spring game coming up this Saturday. Also had some of that audio for you in the first hour as well, and what Hugh Freeze had to say earlier this afternoon. So if you missed any of that, that'll be in the podcast. You can find it after the show at ESPNAU.com. Coming up in just about 12 minutes or so, we'll have Double D. Daryl Dapprich will be joining us on the phone lines. We're going to talk everything for Auburn. Basketball, baseball, a little bit of football as well. So excited to have him be a part of the show, as he is every single Tuesday. But that's not for another 12 or so minutes. Phone lines are open if you have anything that you want to talk about on the show today. 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to me. We can talk about the football stuff that's happening right now. We can talk about basketball. Had some big news in the first hour that we talked about with Eric Musselman from Arkansas, who is reportedly interviewing with USC. Yes, Southern California is apparently interviewing out there tomorrow, and very well could be taking his talents out west for his head coaching career. So it really is kind of a wild scene there if that is what ends up happening. But I'm curious, with all of these transfer portal entries with basketball and Auburn still trying to figure out what their roster is going to be, what do you think the roster is going to look like? And what, maybe a more important question, what do you want the roster to look like at Auburn? I mean, there are multiple guys that are still up in the air. The only real, the only real one that we know about as of right now is Katie Johnson. But there are still some hopefuls out there when it comes to Jani Broome. There's hopefuls out there about Dylan Cardwell. Most people expect guys like Denver Jones to come back, possibly Chad Baker-Mazzara to come back, Chaney Johnson to come back. All of these guys, I mean, Trey Donaldson and Aiden Holloway. I mean, there's been some serious conversations around town and around the fan base on who is going to come back and who do we want to come back, right? And I think it's kind of crazy, but is it weird to think that possibly everybody could come back just about? And when I say that, I'm talking the guys that are, I don't want to say most important, but the biggest impact players from this last year, Jani Broome, right? That's the one that everybody is sort of hung up on, okay, is this going to happen? That's really what people want to know. Is he coming back or is he going to go? And what should he do? What do we want him to do, right? That's what people are asking. Same thing with a Dylan Cardwell. And I want to start with those two guys and that position in particular. Because if you bring those two guys back, right, you bring back Jani Broome, you bring back Dylan Cardwell. I said this earlier in the season, but I think you could play them at the same time. And we're going to talk to Daryl about this coming up in a minute, but you could play them at the same time. And it's not going to be the end of the world if Auburn doesn't have 12 players to play in the season. If you don't have just the most utmost depth in the world, if you're not the deepest team in the country, like that, I get that. That's an attractive thing to have, but I just don't know if that's the most important thing. I'd rather your starting five and your first couple guys off the bench be elite rather than try to make as many guys good as possible. Now, if you deal with injuries and you deal with that type of thing, then yeah, you want some more guys to come in, but you could play. I want you to play your best five. I want Auburn to play their best five. I don't care who that is. Play your best five players and let's go out and see what happens. Look at a lot of these teams that are still standing or made runs in the final in the NCAA championship, right? The NCAA tournament. There's a lot of them that do not go past seven on the roster, on the bench. They don't play past the seventh person because they believe in those six or seven guys are better than your six or seven guys. And I think that might be where Auburn should go. I don't think they will, because if you bring almost everybody back, plus the guys that are coming in, right, you're going to have quite a few players on this team. Like, and you're going to have quite a few players that can make an impact for this team. And, you know, I've seen people talking about the guys that Auburn's going after in the transfer portal, the guys that Auburn could be going after in the transfer portal, and potential roster views for next season. Right, of Jani Broome and Dylan Cardwell and Chaney Johnson, and if Auburn goes and gets somebody else, and you've got Denver Jones and Tahad Pettiford playing at the shooting guard, because Bruce told us that Pettiford is not going to be a point guard. He's going to be a shooter. He's going to be a scorer, which you can be a scorer as a point guard, but maybe not in this system. So Pettiford's going to be a two, and he's going to play behind Denver Jones, and I think that's fine. I think that's really good. I think Denver obviously brings you the seniority, the leadership, the trust on the floor with the ball in his hands, shooting, playmaking. Had a fantastic game against Yale. He couldn't beat him by himself, but he played a good game and was playing his best basketball in March. So you trust him, and you also trust Pettiford coming in to get better behind him. And then you start looking at some of these transfer point guards that Auburn's going after, right? J.P. Pegues or Miles Rice. And then people keep forgetting about Trey Donaldson and Aiden Holloway, the two guys that are still here. The two guards that are still on the roster. And there's been a lot of concern, and some people have been calling for it, which is kind of crazy, for one and or both of Trey Donaldson and Aiden Holloway to hit the portal, to leave. That's crazy. Trey Donaldson has done nothing but get better during his time here at Auburn. Done nothing but get better. And I think you could play him as your starting point guard. I said it all year that he could go and start just about anywhere he wanted to in the SEC. Not every school, but just about all of them. And there's a lot of Power 6 schools that would have Trey Donaldson be their starting point guard and be over the moon about it. And then when it comes to Aiden Holloway, right, there's a lot of people that have a sour taste in their mouth from what they watched this year with Aiden Holloway. And I understand. I'm with you. It was not good. His best game was the first game of the year against Baylor. And he did not do anything like that the entire rest of the way. It actually just got worse, pretty much. And it happens. It's not okay, but it happens. And the only thing you can do now, season's over, you can't change it. So all you can do is get better and try to build some confidence and try to get him in the flow of the game. Because we can all agree that his talent is unbelievable. His potential is unbelievable. And you already know what's going to happen. If he were to enter the portal today, no matter where he goes, I don't care if it's Georgia, I don't care if it's Wyoming, I don't care if it's Hawaii, whatever school he transferred to, if Aiden Holloway were to do that, he would light it up. He would go down there or go over there or go up there, wherever the school he would transfer to, and be the best player that's ever existed in that program. And that's just what happens with Auburn. But the potential with him is so good. Don't you want to hold on and just see if it works out? Don't you just want to see if it does end up coming through? If the light does shine through the trees at one point? Because if it does, he's going to be a superstar. He's been one his entire life. And he had one bad season. I don't think it's enough to write off the guy. I do think he needs to play better. And he has to be better if he wants to play at Auburn. But don't you want to see, just in case it does happen to come to fruition and come to light, and what he could do for this Auburn team when he's playing his best basketball? I do. I don't want to ship him off. I don't want to do that. Because then you have to go and get two point guards, really. At least one. But more than likely two in the transfer portal. So that's kind of where I stand on that. And overall, I just think you have a good set of guys that could come back. Now, I don't think it's going to be cheap by any means. You're going to have to pay them. And that's how it goes. But I just think with that, it's worth the risk. And again, we got to get to break, but there's a lot of people that are starting to talk right now too, and not trusting in Bruce Pearl when it comes to scouting and recruiting because of what's happened the last, 3 years? 4 years? With all these big-time five-stars coming in, Yoan Traore, Chance Westry, Aiden Holloway so far, right? People are disappointed in that, and rightfully so. But I think Aiden Holloway's got that chance. He cares. He wants to be there. He wants to get better. He was disappointed. And I think it's worth it to keep him around and hope that it works out. Because as we continue to say, we do trust Bruce Pearl. And I think you should too. But it's now or never. It's crunch time. It's time to get it done. Especially with, what's happening across the state right now with the other team being in the Final Four. Let's get to our first break here in hour number one. We got to get to the phone lines. Double D, Daryl Daprich coming up. Coming up with us here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Double D with us after this. Stay tuned.
The line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and joining us on the phone lines as he does every single Tuesday, it's Double D. Daryl Dappert's your favorite guest of the week. He's with us each and every Tuesday. Man, it's great to hear from you once again, and I hope you had a very, very happy Easter.
I did, man. You as well. I enjoyed the little break. It was nice to spend it with family as it is any holiday like that. Had a really good time.
Well, good, and I did as well and was able to go home and see family, which is always good. And between you and me, I appreciate you and the things that we were able to discuss and the offers you made to me. And so thank you for that, and glad you were able to spend it with your family as well. So much to get into when it comes to the sports side of things, man, with the Final Four now being set in Auburn baseball. We've got A-Day coming up this Saturday, so let's jump into everything. We'll start on basketball, where the Final Four is set, and it makes everybody in the state, in this part of the state anyway, sick as a dog. NC State and Purdue, and yes, Alabama and UConn. What do you think about that Final Four and the games that led up to it?
Well, you know, I'm a little bit surprised with two of the entrants being Alabama and North Carolina State. It's always the year that you least expect it when your team is making a run. I mean, I think a lot of Alabama fans thought the COVID year or last year would have been, you know, I've talked to people that said that was our best chance. We missed out on our best chance. And isn't it like that the next year when you lose some good players and you go into the tournament really just playing some of your poorest basketball, losing, I think, four of five, including one and done in the SEC tournament, that you make the run and get to the Final Four? It's just, you know, I can remember Nate Oates at his presser before the tournament started saying, "We're very disappointed with the way we finished the year. Maybe these guys will decide to take the season serious, and this is our second season being in the tournament. Maybe it'll be a reset, and they'll start to play better." And I was just thinking at the time, I don't know. I think that he's a little bit in denial. I think this team is, you know, a candidate to go two and out or whatever. And, you know, to their credit, they got a good draw in round two in Grand Canyon, took care of business. They beat the number one seed in North Carolina, which was still the number one seed. And then they didn't have to play Arizona. They got Clemson, but Clemson beat Arizona. So you can only beat the teams that are in front of you. And if those teams are beating other teams that are supposedly better, you know, it is what it is. So I think that they're going to run into a buzzsaw. This isn't Daryl hoping that or wishful thinking. I'm being objective. I just think UConn has got so much. And Dan Hurley is a really, really good coach. And I think, you know, as far as his offensive signs, anything that he does from a watching film standpoint, I think it's going to be difficult. Now, of course, if Alabama hits 16 threes, you know, they got a good shot. But I just don't think that UConn's defense will allow that to happen. And so I think the run ends Saturday, albeit with a Final Four appearance, which is what they've been wanting for a long time.
And look, that Alabama team is extremely good, and I'm with you. I said this on the show yesterday where, in my opinion, I think the Alabama team from last year is better than this year's Alabama team. This one's just got a lot more confidence, and sure, the path may not have been the hardest in the world, but again, they beat the teams in front of you, like you said, and look, they're confident as ever. Their defense is terrible, but their offense is elite, and it's gotten them all the way to Phoenix.
It's elite when they can shoot it like that. And, you know, surprisingly for them, they have been able to do that. Yeah. I mean, they have shot the ball really well in every game, you know, in the tournament so far. And I don't know. I mean, does that continue? Can you do that throughout the whole tournament, especially when you're playing teams that are a little bit, like I said, stronger defensively? I don't know. I think it's a recipe that you're going to have to try to find a way to win a game when you're not shooting it well, and I don't know if they're equipped to do that. They could be, but you know what I mean? Like a game like Auburn played against Mississippi State,
right,
in the SEC tournament, where it's a rock fight and it's in the 50s or in the 60s. UConn can win a game like that if they have to. They can clamp down on you. And again, Hurley is just elite as far as seeing what you do really, really well and taking it away from you. And I don't think that Grand Canyon's coach, Charleston's coach, I think Hubert Davis is overrated as a coach at North Carolina. I think he wins because he gets the players that are elite and all blue chippers. And I think Clemson's coach having beat Alabama once already in Coleman Coliseum this year was probably a downfall for him because they adjusted. So I think with Hurley or a guy like, and again, North Carolina State on the other side of the bracket, you know, they're absolutely on a magical run that I don't know. I think they're a little bit built more to be able to upset Purdue based upon Purdue's strength is also North Carolina State's. And I just think Big Boy is going to give Edie all kind of trouble.
Yeah.
I think Burns is going to just – that little drop step off the glass spin move, I just think that he is going to eat on the block. And so if Purdue's guards can step up, because we know North Carolina State's got some good guards, that side of the bracket, I think North Carolina State has a better chance to upset Purdue than I think Alabama does Connecticut. And that's not being a homer. That's just matchup-wise. I think strengths and weaknesses, you know, North Carolina State just – they are a bad matchup for Purdue.
Yeah, they are. And you said it right there. They have a strength in singular, right, in Purdue. Like, they have one thing, and it works. It works really well. And Tennessee just could not find a way to stop it. Zach Edey, 40 total points and 16 rebounds, and drew double-digit fouls. And Tennessee has nobody on that team except Dalton Connect, who did his thing and scored 37 points. And yet, Rick Barnes and Tennessee couldn't get it done once again.
Yeah, you got to have secondary scoring. When you get to this point, as good as Mark Sears has been, Stevenson steps up the other night and has a career game, right? The game before that against North Carolina, Grant Nelson finally plays and shows up and you know, reappears off the side of a milk carton and shows up. So secondary scoring is huge, and Tennessee didn't get that. They just didn't get it. Now, and it's going to be interesting, you know, North Carolina State, Burns is the guy, but Horns played well, and their guards, Middlebrooks has stepped up. I think that how that game gets called, the Purdue-North Carolina State game, if the referees let them play and Edie doesn't get to go to the line 20 times as gifts, they're in trouble. Purdue's in trouble. If they call it tight and they get Burns in foul trouble and they give Edie all kind of opportunities at the line, then I think Purdue wins double digits. The key to me is going to be how – the key indicator is going to be how that game is called early. And, you know, I've seen some guys in the NCAA tournament, some officials swallow their whistle, and then I've seen officials call, you know, 40 fouls. So it'll just be interesting. I don't know what the crews are. I haven't looked at the officiating crews, what their reputation is as far as tendencies. But that'll be interesting. That'll be something to look for early. You know, it's just, it dictates your flow. It dictates how you want to run things. And, you know, Alabama, on the other hand, doesn't have to go to the free throw line 30 times to win a game. If they shoot 40% from three and they shoot it 30, 35 times from three, they can just dang near beat anybody. If they don't, and if they're in the 20 or 30 percentile range and they're barely making double digit in three pointers, then they're in trouble. So, same thing. That game early, Alabama comes out, starts hitting their threes. We're in, you know, they're in for a really, really tight game, and anything could happen. If they don't, I think it could get ugly. But intriguing basketball. I know it's disappointing for people in the eastern part of the state because that was something that they felt like they had in their back pocket. Auburn had been to a Final Four, and this team, this Alabama team, just did not look like they were going to get out of the round of 32. So it makes it even more of a surprise, disappointment, because it wasn't expected. You just didn't expect it.
Yeah, and you brought it up right there about, you know, the thing that Auburn fans had over Alabama for what, the last 5 years, was, hey, Auburn's been to a Final Four, Alabama's never been to a Final Four. Well, that's now been wiped off the slate, and both teams are kind of even now in that category. And there's been a lot of uproar about that, Alabama fans letting Auburn fans know, and Auburn fans trying to figure out what in the world to do with that piece of information. Daryl, how does that affect – that's a tough question, but – how does it affect Auburn, Bruce Pearl, and this basketball program now that Alabama has pulled even with them in terms of one of the biggest accolades in the sport?
Well, I think that history sometimes revisits itself. And I think that these basketball programs regardless of Auburn getting to a Final Four before Alabama did. Since Nate Oates has taken over, this rivalry and the state of basketball in the state of Alabama has gone back and forth. It has been about as even as you can. There have been years where Alabama has been the better team. You know, the COVID year and then the year last year. I felt like up until this tournament, Auburn was had the better season this year, and of course they did 2 years ago, and they definitely did in 2020 when everything got shut down.
Right.
Because remember, Auburn was rolling. They were you know, number two in the SEC, looking like they were going to be a 3 or 4 seed in the NCAA tournament. They were getting hot at the right time, and Alabama was going to the NIT. That was NATO's first year. Had, you know, people want to forget that because the season didn't end, but up to that point in the season, Auburn had the better year. They had the better year 2 years ago, and this year they were on pace too, but you have to say Alabama's had the better year. So how you handle that is, I just think you buckle up and realize that both coaches, both programs, both boosters, schools from both schools are going to do whatever they can to try to get the one up, and it's just going to go back and forth year to year. I think it's about as even as it could be. I don't think one is going to gain a foothold over the other, and I think from 1 year to the next, because look, if Alabama gets beat by UConn Saturday, well then they've gone as far as Auburn has. But again, just like in 1986, Auburn got there first. And people want to say, oh, that's weak, and that's well, it's facts. From 1986 to 2004, Auburn was the only school between Auburn and Alabama that had been to an Elite Eight. And then Gottfried got them there. Now, I will say this. Alabama, overall, traditionally, historically, not just – I'm not talking about last 5 years or top last 10 years. Historically, has had the better basketball program than Auburn. They just have. Wimp Sanderson won multiple SEC titles. Alabama's been to the NCAA tournament a lot more than Auburn. Their valleys haven't been as long as Auburn's has.
Very much, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, until Bruce Pearl came along, Alabama dominated in basketball, you know, before the Sonny Smith and then that 1 or 2 off years with Cliff Ellis. Historically, Alabama's had, like I said, more Sweet 16s, more NCAA tournaments, so they've had the better program. Ironically, Auburn got to the Elite Eight first and the Final Four first. So I think you're just going to see give and take from now on until one of them leaves. It's going to just be evenly matched. And it's going to be one of those situations where 1 year you may see Auburn have the better year, 1 year you may see Alabama have the better year. But that's where we are right now.
And I think it's going to last a long time. I mean, Bruce has basically got a lifetime contract, and Nate Oates just got a massive extension. And anybody that tries to swipe him away is going to have to pay an arm and a leg to get him. And so, look, I don't think either one of those guys are going anywhere. And we had people bring this up on the show yesterday, and I've seen it all over social media. I'm sure you have as well. Like, there's a big part of people from this state that are just like, man, let's sit back and look at the state of Alabama for a second and how many basketball schools were represented in the NCAA tournament. And now, for the second time in 5 years, you've got an Alabama school in the Final Four for basketball, which is really unheard of.
It is. It was why I scratched my head as to why Alabama and Auburn were sent out to Spokane, Washington.
Yeah.
I said that 2 weeks ago. I said, for the rare time, Alabama and Auburn are brothers in arms. They have been, in my opinion, the standard the last 5 years in SEC basketball. You can say all you want about Tennessee and the fact that they've won 2 conference titles in that 6-year period, regular season, but they haven't won a tournament title and they haven't been to a Final Four. Alabama has won 2 conference titles, regular season, they've won 2 tournament titles and have been to a Final Four. And oh, by the way, Auburn's done the same thing in that same time span. Nobody else, not big, bad, blue, blood Kentucky, not Tennessee, nobody. Not Arkansas, who's been to a bunch of Elite Eights but can't win the regular season or the tournament, you know, and haven't been to a Final Four in years, can say they've done that in the last decade. So it's been Alabama and Auburn that have been, and that just blows my mind. And you know, if you think about it, when we went back to football in 2009, 2010, they went back-to-back in national championships in football,
mm-hmm.
which hasn't been done. I mean, I can't think of another state. Florida State hasn't done it. You know, I mean, California hasn't. USC hasn't won, and then the next year UCLA won. It's been rare that that's ever happened. And Auburn and Alabama went back-to-back in football with national champions. So, yeah, we should be pretty proud in the region that we live with sports. It just doesn't feel that way right now if you're an Auburn fan because of the disappointment of the first-round loss and what we'll probably talk about, some other things, some other sports that are struggling right now. And it's just, it's one of those things you just kind of get through. What I always think it urges people, and it has a call to action. I think boosters and coaches and supporters of either program get fed up, and you start to see things move.
Okay.
You start to see more NIL money, more, you know, transfer portal stuff, because people don't want to fall behind. And make no mistake, when Auburn went to the Final Four in 2019 and Avery Johnson got canned, Tuscaloosa, they were doing whatever needed to be done to get back on the map. They were not going to let Auburn win the arms race in college basketball. And I think Auburn might have the same attitude now with DeBoer being, Saban finally leaving, having the opportunity to close the gap in football, and that now that Alabama has answered Auburn's Final Four run, what will Auburn do to counter that? I think we're in for some really reactionary stuff from both fan bases.
For the next several years across numerous sports, not just the two that you mentioned. And that's what makes this rivalry so much fun, and that's what makes it the best rivalry that we all agree on in college sports. And look, we're going to see how it plays out. Alabama in the Final Four this coming Saturday. We'll take our bottom of the hour break here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Come back and talk about some Auburn baseball, and then obviously Auburn football as well, with A-Day coming up this Saturday. More after this here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
Back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Got 30 more minutes here on the Auburn Opelika sports leader. I'm Jacob Goertz with you on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Continue to be joined by Daryl Dapperts, Double D, on the phone lines. Man, tell all the people where they can find you. I know you just got a radio hit or a celebrity show somewhere just about every day now.
Well, Zach and I will be doing a show today from the football complex that we'll post tomorrow morning to kind of wrap up spring practice and what we saw in the viewing window. And then we'll do our normal Friday morning show that'll post wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, and on YouTube. And then we're doing a bonus show this week. We'll be doing a show after A-Day, a reaction show like we do the football after football games. Don't know if we're going to do that live, or if we're going to just do it Saturday and then post it Sunday morning. But that'll be another bonus show that people will get. And then Monday mornings with our good friend Ben Taylor at 7:10 on WANI, and then with you every Tuesday for a half hour starting at 3:15. So it's been very active. And then it's been weird, though, I'll be honest with you, Jacob, not having to do the basketball reaction shows, the live shows. It's just a little bit different not having to do those. Wish we still were. But we'll get back into the swing of things. And then, look, portal season's going to hit, and it's going to hit hard. And I think we'll jump on if Auburn gets anybody of significance in the portal that will make an impact from a starting lineup standpoint, we'll jump on and do a live show on Locked On Auburn as well.
Yeah, portal season's about to be. Look, it's already open for basketball. It's right around the corner for football, and it's going to be it's going to be a cluster. I don't know another word to use for it. And hopefully it's a good thing for Auburn, for basketball and for football, trying to bring in some new names, new faces, and try to beef up each and every roster. But before we get to football, Daryl, I want to talk a little Auburn baseball, and I know it's going to hurt because man, this team is 16-11 overall. They are 1-8 in conference play, and it doesn't get easy in the midweek. They're heading up to Birmingham today to take on UAB on the road once again. Man, what in the world does Auburn have to do to get some wins around the SEC? They're playing the toughest schedule in the country, so I don't know what they're supposed to do besides score 15 runs, because that's about what it takes right now.
Yeah, their pitching has been very much a disappointment. They're not getting the arms are struggling, the bullpen's struggling. Auburn's got a good lineup. I just think that they're on the precipice. They're in the danger zone right now. They've got to turn it around and start winning some series like they did last year, because the last thing you want to do is not be able to even qualify for the SEC tournament. If you think about it, the defending national champion a couple years ago, the Mississippi State Bulldogs, couldn't qualify 2 years in a row and get to Hoover. And this this baseball program has come too far with hosting a regional last year to have that happen to it. I have the utmost confidence in Butch Thompson and these kids. It's just they're going to have to get some pitching. And, you know, again, I get it. The SEC is a meat grinder. You play Vanderbilt, you play Arkansas, and you play Texas A&M. And then I think this weekend, doesn't Tennessee come?
Who is now the number four team in the country.
Yeah, it just does not get any easier. This conference is, and then in Oklahoma and Texas come in next year. And, you know, they're storied baseball programs. So it's tough. It's really, really hard. And so I just think that at some point they're going to start getting outs from the mound. They're going to start getting guys to make key pitches and get out of jams. And when that happens, you just have to start winning series. If you don't, you're in trouble of missing out on the postseason, and that would be a major disappointment for this baseball program.
Yeah, the magic number is typically, and you can disagree with me here, but magic number typically around 14 SEC wins, right? I mean, 13 seems to be like the minimum. 14 is where you want to be. 15, you're starting to feel pretty good, and man, it's really hard to start looking down and find 14, 15 more wins on this schedule.
That's what happens when you put yourself – I mean, you not only have you not won any series, you've got swept in two of them.
Yeah.
And so you just can't – that can't happen. I mean, Auburn should have had at least three SEC wins at this point and at least salvaged one game out of each three, and then that makes it a little bit more feasible to go on a run and try to get you 10 more wins somewhere. Now you got to get 12 more wins somewhere. It's just – it's very hard. And, look, this task is big, and it starts. And if you can get two out of three this weekend from Tennessee, then I think you start to move the needle a little bit and start to try to win some series. But you're going to have to win some series on the road. And these midweek games don't really – they matter. If you're in an RPI scenario and you're trying to host a regional, you don't want to lose them. But they do not get you in the SEC tournament. They do not get you hosting a regional if you don't do something in SEC play as well. All they can do is hurt you.
Right. Yeah.
All they can do is hurt you.
Which is very possible for this Auburn team. I mean, at UAB, Alabama State, Georgia Tech twice, Florida A&M. I mean, it's in Samford. I mean, it's really wild that Auburn got the schedule that they got. And then the easiest SEC series that they have team-wise is Missouri. And guess what? It's on the road in Como. So
yeah, hard to – that's the tough place to win for some reason.
Yeah.
Georgia Tech and UAB, I think, are the toughest on that schedule. I think Alabama State and Florida A&M, those SWAC games, all, you know, Auburn should handle. And then the Samford game, Auburn should take care of business too. But Georgia Tech, you know, you're talking about an ACC school that's got a tradition of good baseball, put a lot of guys in Major League Baseball and have had some, you know, I mean, I think Auburn played them in a regional a couple years ago when they had to beat North Carolina and Georgia Tech. You know, and so,
yep.
Or maybe it was a Super Bowl, but anyway, it was on the way to a College World Series appearance. It's going to be tough. It's going to be very hard, but, you know, you have to just say you can't win eight games on one weekend. You got to just take a series. That's what you got to do. So,
Daryl Dapperidge with us here on ESPN 106.7 as we flip from baseball to football with the spring practice schedule winding down. You've got this week. Hugh Freeze met with the media earlier today. And then you've got A-Day coming up this Saturday, Daryl. And look, for my people and my listeners on this show each and every day, they know that, in my opinion, A-Day is kind of a joke, in my opinion. It's just a glorified practice. Some people like to call it a scrimmage. I don't even think you could call it that, especially last year when you had all the rain and everything. I mean, it was a disaster. Do I think there are valuable things to take from it? Yeah, absolutely, which is why guys like you and Zach are going to be there doing a post-game show. But you can't take everything that you see and hear from a spring game, and that's just my opinion on that.
Yeah, I think the spring game used to be used to find out who was going to be able to use in the fall, who was going to come back. It was a thing for depth chart and all that kind of thing. But I think now you look at it as, okay, what am I going to have to do in the portal? Where am I going to have to go and get help after watching the A-Day game? Am I going to need help along the defensive line? Am I going to need another receiver? Am I going to need another quarterback? Is somebody going to leave because they don't like playing time? So the spring games have switched, and the focuses have switched to depth and what you need to go get in the portal. That's why it's become a little more important than it used to. The other thing that it does is, you're right, last year was awful. All they did is run it with Robbie and TJ, and they just, it was ground heavy. You really want to see this year Peyton Thorne progress, improve, because he wasn't here during the spring last year. See if he can develop a rapport with the receivers. And so for this situation, it is going to be a little more telling, especially because it's supposed to be dry and warm. But at the end of the day, it's not about trying to determine who's going to be back in your depth chart. It's going to be, who do I need to go get after A-Day? And I think that'll be why it's pretty intriguing and pretty interesting.
Are there any positions right now, as we talk early in this week, and once A-Day goes by and the portal window does open and the free-for-all happens once again, is there anywhere that you expect Auburn to have some losses and maybe have to make up for in the portal over the next few weeks?
Well, you know, as far, even without anybody jumping ship, I still think they need to go out and grab a defensive lineman or two that can come in and start or come in and play a lot of reps and a lot of downs. I think they need some experience down linemen, and I think you'll see Auburn get at least two. Obviously, if one of the quarterbacks leaves because they don't feel like they're going to get a shot and they're not going to be in the three deep, and, you know, the candidate that everyone's talking about for that would be Holden Gerner. So, yeah, you'd want to go out and get another quarterback for the quarterback room. I think running back room's good. If you could pick up another offensive tackle just for depth, you'd want to do that. Maybe another linebacker just for depth, you'd want to do that. But I think the secondary looks good. I think that, you know, they're the corners and the safety. So I would look at Auburn, if I had to put a number on it or an over-under, I could see Auburn going and getting four or five guys maybe in the spring portal, with five being the high and three being the low. And I think position of need would be defensive line, quarterback, and probably linebacker in that order.
Well, there you go. You heard it here, folks. Double D, take it to the bank, man. Auburn, I'm sure they'll do a little bit of that. And you just never know with the portal, man. You just never know who's going to jump in. You may have some shocks on who enters. You may have some shocks on who shows up through the transfer portal. And that goes for basketball, too, because that's still going on. Don't forget about that. So lots of updates for Auburn Athletics, and nobody tells it like it is more than Daryl Dappert, who joins me every single Tuesday here on the show. Plug it all one more time, man, and we appreciate you joining us as always.
Yes, Wednesdays and Fridays, Locked on Auburn with Zach Blackerby, where you get all your podcasts. I'm with you Tuesday afternoons, Ben Taylor on WANI 710, and then we'll be doing some live shows throughout Portal and A-Day.
Awesome. Hey, Daryl Dappert's with us each and every Tuesday here on ESPN 106.7. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it up here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
All right, winding down here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Appreciate you being with us all show long, whether it's been a segment, couple of minutes, a couple of hours, whatever the case may be. I appreciate you being with us, and we appreciate Double D, Daryl Dappert, joining us each and every Tuesday as well. And just want to remind you, I may have misspoken that, but Auburn baseball, the game tonight versus UAB has been moved to tomorrow, all right? So that is, with all the weather going through the entire state of Alabama and Auburn on the road at UAB, they have moved that game to tomorrow. So keep that in mind. They will play that tomorrow. And then, yeah, number 4 Tennessee coming to town this weekend, because that's just how we roll, I guess, on the plains, is you take down, or not even take down, you take on one team in the top 5, and then your reward is you get another top 5 team. And then, oh yeah, another top 5 team. And then they will get a break. They'll play a top 20 team coming up in Kentucky in a couple weeks. So it's insane, man. It really is on the schedule. But here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say when it comes to Auburn baseball and the SEC. Everybody's playing in the SEC. All these other schools in the conference are playing each other, right? So I understand that Auburn baseball has had the toughest schedule in the entire country. I understand it's not been easy. But I think it's fair to say, and Daryl and I were just talking about that, I think it's fair to say that only having one SEC win is just not good enough. I think you can expect there to have been a couple of more wins. And if you would have gotten a couple of more wins, you would have put yourself in a much better spot moving into this weekend with Tennessee and some of the other series that you have coming up throughout the rest of the year, rather than already through three series, you're basically in fight or flight mode, where it's you have to win right now. You have to win. And you have to win almost every series. You need some sweeps in there. You cannot afford to lose multiple games in a series right now. You cannot afford it. And that's a really tough spot to be with Tennessee on the schedule, Ole Miss on the schedule, Kentucky, Mississippi State, Alabama. That's a tough spot to be in with the folks that you're playing against over the next couple of months. And for Auburn, I get the schedule's been tough, but man, you got to win some games regardless. This is the best conference in the country, and it's not even close when it comes to college baseball. And yeah, you got a bad draw. Your road games are terrible. Even your easiest easiest opponent of the season is on the road at Missouri. I don't know. I just think that at some point, you got to overcome it, and you still got to win games, regardless of who you're playing. And a couple of those games that Auburn has lost out of those eight, I think there were at least two, possibly three, that you could say, yeah, Auburn probably should have won those games. But either way, their midweek game versus UAB moved from tonight to tomorrow. So be sure that you keep that in mind and make those adjustments as well. Coming up on tomorrow's show, Uncle T-Bone will be back in the studio with me on a Wednesday. So excited for that. We'll have all sorts of things to talk about when it comes to basketball, the transfer portal wide open. We'll talk some football news as well as we continue to get closer to the spring game, to A-Day, maybe some positions and expectations from us in terms of what we are going to be looking for and wanting to see in the spring game on Saturday. And man, you just never know what news is going to break throughout the day. So excited to have him on. I'll get confirmation. Need to check in with Jordan Hill, see if we're going to have him. I think they are continuing to get through spring practice. You've got the NFL draft coming up, so there's a ton of guys from Georgia, of course, that are going to be hopefully hearing their names called in that, so maybe we'll get him on the show tomorrow as well. So that'll be 2-4 right here on ESPN 106.7. Again, thank you so much for joining me all show long today. Stay safe in the weather tonight. I know it's gotten pushed back a little bit, but stay safe in Auburn, Opelika, Birmingham, North Alabama, wherever you are. Just stay safe, man. It's one of those days. It's that time of year in the state in the South where it just rips through. So stay safe, and just take precaution. That's all I can tell you. Don't use me as your weatherman, though. I say that all the time. I don't know what I'm talking about. Just check your local weather. Check everything out, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, 2-4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.